Hey, PR Wars fans. I have some sad news today. PR Wars co-host Brad Grantham is mourning the loss of his father. His dad, Bill Grantham, passed away from COVID-19 this week. And as we pass this 300,000 deaths in the U.S., it's more than just numbers. It's a devastating illness that is impacting too many families. You see, Brad's dad, Bill Grantham, lived in North Carolina, but spent most of his life in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And in this world of inconsistency, Bill Grantham's legacy represents commitment. He was completely committed to God, to his wife, and to his family. Bill Grantham was 71 years old. So this Christmas, honor Bill Grantham by committing. Commit to something in your life that's important. We'll welcome back Brad to the show next week. Now let's roll. We want
truth! We want truth! We want truth! I have news for everybody. Get over it.
It's time. Welcome to PR Wars, coming at you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Now, here is your host, Chris Shigas.
Hey everyone, welcome to PR Wars. I'm Chris Shigas. Holiday retail. It is a tough pitch to get your clients' products under the Christmas tree. Our guest today on PR Wars worked a decade for the National Retail Federation. She even worked with the team that originally coined the term Cyber Monday. Huge! Now, she's the Director of Media Relations for the marketing agency Salient MG. Kathy Granis Allen, thank you for joining us on PR Wars today.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Here we are. It's the rush of holiday shopping season. And you have clients who are really trying to make this quarter work for them. In this space, in this holiday retail, what's working in 2020?
Man, that is the question, isn't it? You know, veteran PR professionals go into the situation knowing the reporter, their beat, the outlet, what works and what doesn't. You build up to this level as a PR professional where you have a very good understanding of how to access a reporter, how to research their beat, when to pitch them, when not to, how to evaluate the news cycle. But 2020 has changed even all of that for
sure.
For everyone, for every single PR professional, you know, whether you specialize in communications in general or if you are strictly PR and media, 2020 has changed everything. And I think this year so far, what I've really noticed has worked, regardless of whether it's about the election or COVID, or if you happen to be in the space where Amazon, Facebook, and TikTok play, what really works is a concise, well-researched and well-thought-out and well-timed pitch, more so than ever before, because if you're going to get a reply in your email, it's only going to come if it provides true, true, true value to that reporter.
Right. So you started off the year and you had planning, and then mid-year you changed your planning probably, and that now you're executing. So what's working? What channels do you see? I know different clients have different objectives, but if you look at it from a broad picture, which channels are really working in retail PR?
That's a great question. And funny enough, I think only in the last year or so have I become the Twitter retail PR person that I am today. Honestly, I was always of the mindset that social media is great when it comes to interacting with reporters, but it was always a side gig. It was always just something that was there, but I would use it to keep up with my friends, right? To keep up with the beat reporter if they were having a tough day, or if the lot of them were piling on about a story or a trend, I would jump in. But these days, it honestly has become a mechanism to see what media is saying and what they're saying about how people pitch them, because sometimes it's not the most friendly, obviously, because they receive so many crazy pitches, but there's a lot of feedback about how to pitch them. There's questions about what they're looking for. So Twitter is one channel that has worked for me in terms of getting through.
Just getting and a lot to of the reporter. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
Because they do like Twitter. And I guess, are you of the school where you're engaging with these reporters even when you're not pitching them?
Correct. Exactly. Yeah. So there are more things. I've always believed that media relations is a two-way street. You can't expect to go to a reporter just with the idea that they're going to cover what you have available to them. You have to also be available to them when you have nothing to offer except guidance or a name or a suggestion for a source or a website they haven't seen. So getting in front of them with ideas of who to go to, who has great research, who has, you know, great contacts is just as important. And I've sent DMs to, you know, CNN business reporters, to Protocol, to, you know, LA Times, you name it, just introducing myself saying, I'm here, I'm working with such and such. It's very nice to meet you. Please let me know if there's anything I can ever do. And that is actually, believe it or not, has worked very well for me in just having them come to me again through Twitter or come to me even an email with a follow-up question, even if it has nothing to do with me or my client.
Mm-hmm. Media lists have been shrinking and shrinking. Just the whole industry has been shrinking. And as you look for ways to expand your contact lists and stakeholders, obviously one thing that's coming up is influencers. And you mentioned TikTok and you mentioned other kinds of things. And what role do you think influencers are playing today in your industry? And do you treat them the same as a media reporter, or how do you work that?
Well, from my standpoint, at least, the influencers that I would rely on most, or that I am relying most, at least, may not have the million plus followers, you know, like your YouTube or Instagram stars, your TikTok stars, right, per se. But I rely a lot on the analysts and and those types of global influencers. You know, there's a research firm out there, Forrester Research. And I'm a very big fan of Sucharita Kodali. She has been an influencer in the retail and e-commerce and digital retail space for as long as I can remember. That kind of influence to me matters a little bit more than somebody who would be getting paid by a brand to speak about it. That's not to say that the value of these influencer firms isn't real. Imagine social media was only born 10 years, 15 years ago, right? Sure. And the things that we've seen come from that, just not even in the world of PR, just the world of marketing and just that digital visibility is huge.
I'm aging myself here, but my first Facebook campaign that I did, I had to use one of our interns. Because when, if you remember, when Facebook started, you had to have a college email address in order to have an account. So my first campaign in Facebook, I had to enlist my intern so that we could even create a page in Facebook.
Right. Yeah, exactly. I was at the National Retail Federation the year Cyber Monday was coined and invented and created. I worked with the team that actually coined that phrase. And the idea of having somebody come in, you know, they were in their early 20s. They came in twice a week to help us manage Twitter and social media because it was so new and it was burgeoning, but we weren't accustomed to this idea of what it, of how it was going to grow or what it was. But to be there at the beginning of it was incredible.
Mm-hmm. Now, there's lots of ways to reach out to a reporter. You mentioned kind of slipping into somebody's DMs on Twitter, right? But there's also, okay, traditionally you send out a press release and you blast it out. Other ways, there's you send a pitch, right? Maybe it's just a couple of lines and here's an idea. We used to do these old school press kits where you mail them to reporters. And I'm thinking in retail, maybe even giving that, if the product isn't expensive, you could send some stuff to a newsroom. What's your go-to? What's working for you this year?
Oh, let's see. Well, yeah, clearly email. is the easiest, but I have, as all of us, we've struggled with getting that reply, right? So I've found that even if I get, let's say, 5 replies a week for again, this is proactive. Mm-hmm. This is just proactive PR, right? This wouldn't be necessarily a breaking news story. One of the things that also works for me is, believe it or not, going to somebody I might know at that outlet, whether it's a Fast Company or if it's Reuters, and saying, hey, I realize this isn't your beat, this isn't your stick, but we've worked together for X number of years. Do you happen to know the person who's covering supply chain or the person who would be covering digital online or, you know, or online retail? It's all the same. That kind of ask for advice method has actually worked for me a couple times. I went to a Fortune reporter. I was trying to get in front of one of their lead diversity and inclusion reporters. She runs this awesome newsletter and this great D&I beat, but I'd only known the retail reporter, and I asked him for an introduction. And he had no problem with that introduction because I'd known him for so long and we'd had such a great relationship that he knew that I in no way was going to spam this reporter or harass her or send an unnecessary email. That is, I've used that in many beats at dozens and dozens of outlets, and it's actually worked quite well for me.
Interesting. Now, one thing I'm interested in, you work with a full service marketing agency and you lead the media relations portion of that. So you may be more than a lot of people in a media relations agency really learn how to integrate your media relations with the overall marketing mix. Can you talk a little bit about that and kind of how you approach that and when media relations is one piece of that marketing plan?
Yeah, that's a good point, because back, I don't know how long, there was a time where you would simply leave the marketing side of the house to the marketing side of the house, and you would have the PR side of the house to the PR side of the house. But these days, because everything is so integrated and so digital, there is no such thing as just hitting send on a press release,
right?
Nor is there such thing as just scheduling a tweet, nor is there such thing as just a direct mailer. Right? You know, the direct mailer has a QR code that sends you to a website that has to be updated, that, you know, should direct people and media to the right place. So I've really benefited and learned more about marketing and integrated communications than ever before with this role, with where, you know, at Salient, because my team of marketing experts are really, you know, they are making back-end changes for our clients that I'd never heard of or knew of. And not to say that I want to become a marketing expert in any fashion. You know, I love what I do, but I've learned so much from them. And it's been important for me to stay up to date with their trends, just as it is for them to understand what I'm battling with PR and media, and especially in this landscape, when they say, when they ask me a question about a press release that came up while I wasn't on a call. They know my messaging enough to know, you know, sometimes the answer isn't just a press release. Most of the time it's not, you know, sometimes it's just a targeted call or targeted email. And it's been really beneficial for all of us to be a part. But yeah, that handling that media relations alone is actually not really, I'm not really alone. There is a you know, a nice team effort.
So you brought up messaging. And sometimes a marketing message looks a little different than a media relations message, and which looks a little different than a social media message. But tell me about kind of your approach to messaging and what you're looking for when you're helping a client.
I'm really glad you asked that. Literally just the other day, we were working with a client who was drafting a press release. There were two paragraphs that read like a marketing brochure. And you know, and in the comments and in through some edits, we had to remind them this wasn't newsy, that this was salesy, this was promotional.
Yeah, like an advertisement.
Yes. And I find that I'm having to do that a lot more with communication teams that do focus more on the marketing side, right? Or if our point of contact is a vice president of marketing. So instead of them having a PR expert on hand, you know, as their agency of record, obviously, and clearly we work with them and help them. But a lot of the materials, when you break it down, you know, when you try to put them through the PR lens, it is very easy to spot that promotional language. So I mostly, and honestly, what I ended up doing was I ended up just putting quotation marks around one of those paragraphs because it read like a quote. It could, it was also the quote from the chief marketing officer.
Right. And that is where you can get a lot of the opinionated stuff in. And exactly. Instead, the one thing, I hate throwaway quotes. I hate the quotes of, we're thrilled to be a part of this, whatever, let's make these quotes work a little bit. And if you have to put in some marketing language, yeah, let's use this quote.
Right. Yeah. And especially the more provocative you can be, and it's right now, the better, right? You know, you can certainly thank your partners. You can say it's a match made in heaven, et cetera. But by literally saying that there are millions of people out there just waiting to tackle your cyber platform and erupt with fraud is better left as a sentence, if you can back it up, obvious, or as a quote, than as press release. And then obviously, then there's the next level of messaging, which is your CEO messaging, which I also work on every day, whether it's for prepping for an interview or honestly, if they are themselves just trying to wrap their head around a launch, you know, we want to put them in the right frame of mind. Let's say it is a marketing launch, but they need materials that are going to be something that they would speak, whether they speak it on the record or whether they speak it to a partner or virtual coffee, with a reporter. There's definitely that level, that difference. And it's been important to keep the promotional side promotional and the newsy side newsy.
Well, you have about a couple of weeks left in this holiday shopping season, and then you're going to wrap up. You're going to do some measurement, and then you're going to do some reporting back. can you foresee maybe how 2020, how what's happened this year is going to change for your plans next year for your clients, how they're going to shift?
Right. Well, like you said, the any playbook we may have had in early 2020 was thrown out the window. We've had to learn how to become a referenceable and newsy when it is virtually impossible. So with that, what we've found ourselves doing, and to your point, as we are currently making our yearly wrap reports for our clients, right? And actually the metrics aren't as far off as I think we would have had in a normal year. But let's say even, Chris, even without this pandemic, it was still an election year,
right?
So regardless, we were still looking at a difficult year ahead, even if COVID had not spread the way it had, and it hadn't become this huge tragedy and taken over the news. An election itself takes up editors' budget space for 8-9 months regardless. So I think when we do speak to our clients, we always remind them about expectations. And that is the one thing. Yes. I don't ever want to be the PR person that says that I'm making an excuse for why I didn't get coverage. Mm-hmm. It's not my job to explain my life away, but it is my job to make sure that they understand the absolute realistic atmosphere, the environment that we're all in. And that's going to be the only way we succeed together, is if they understand the definition of news and not news. Right. Saying, hey, you should cover my client because they're interesting, it's a puff piece, right? It's not going to work.
Right.
But saying, you should meet my client. They're the only Black CEO in this space. They were the first to market with this product. He's, raised $43 million since inception. And by the way, the numbers he's seeing with his product, are up 543%. That's the news story. It's not meet this client. He's newsworthy.
Some of those specifics, you have a dollar figure, you have numbers, right. You have some specific information you can give the reporter, and it's not just a piece of marketing fluff. Right. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. And then there's year over year, and there's change, and there's stuff that goes into it that makes the reporter at least reply back and say, wow, that's great. Can we connect next week? Or I'm loaded up for the next 3 weeks. Can remind me that I want to connect with you in, next month. And trust me, I'm writing that down.
A big part of my plans has always been to do desk side briefings and to take, when you're doing something like you just mentioned, pitching a CEO, bringing them on a media tour where they can shake hands and they can look someone in the eye and a reporter can get a briefing. And that was kind of taken away from us, right? We can't do that. And I've done a little bit on Zoom and things like that to do reporter briefings. Have you found that the reporters have been more willing to just meet, or has it been tough?
Really tough. Yeah. Really tough. The way our firm works, you know, we actually only work by referral only. So we don't respond to RFPs. And the clients that, ooh, you know, we take on.
That'd be good. If I never had to write another RFP again, it would be too soon.
I know. Trust me. It's great. But, you know, with that, I say that because our level of trust and commitment to our clients is hands down explicitly different than a lot of other firms you will find, right? Like we are intimately involved in the success of these individuals because we also work with minority and underrepresented executives specifically to help them find their voice in the market. I feel, and I know in my heart is a good pitch and I know is a good story idea. I've offered for these virtual coffees or I've offered for a 5-10 minute introduction has been very, very challenging. Very challenging to get through. You know, again, I'll get the reply from a Fast Company. Or I'll get the reply from, you know, a Mashable if it's on that, you know, the consumer side.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, it takes tenacity, takes persistence. Yeah. Last question. If there's a young person graduating college, maybe with a degree in PR, and they come to you and they say, you know, what kind of skill sets do I need to be where you are and to be successful in this industry, what would you tell them?
Well, I think you have to like people. I'm not saying you have to be an extrovert.
Right.
But you have to be able to meet in the middle when it comes to emotional development, right? If you're pitching a reporter who is bubbly or who is not bubbly, mm-hmm. you have to be able to meet them in the middle and you have to enjoy that and you have to sound like you like it. So that's why I think liking people is a big part of it. That's maybe a little bit like in the personal development, but you also, to your point, tenacity is a great point because you can't give up after the first pitch, but you also can't spam them. Right. So you have to find a balance and it has to be thorough research with your pitch. Like you have to get in bed with your pitch. You have to marry your pitch and figure out if it is going to work the way you want it to. And don't waste reporters' time because they'll never reply.
Right. Okay, great. Well, Kathy, thank you so much for joining us on PR Wars today.
Thank you so much for having me. That was a lot of fun.
All right, great. You can listen to a new PR Wars podcast every Sunday night at 8 p.m. I want to thank Kathy Granis Allen, Director of Media Relations for Salient MG. And do me a favor, commit to your loved ones this holiday season. The year has taken a toll on everyone. And when you return to work, commit to this profession that we love. Use communication to lift people. Commit your skills to make 2021 better than ever. Now go back.